Maurice, written by E.M. Forster and read by Ben Wishaw.
Begun 1913, finished 1914. Dedicated to a happier year. Part 1, Chapter 1. Once a term, the whole school went for a walk. That is to say, the three masters took part as well as all the boys. It was usually a pleasant outing, and everyone looked forward to it, forgot old scores and behaved with freedom. Lest discipline should suffer, it took place just before the holidays, when leniency does no harm. And indeed it seemed more like a treat at home than school, for Mrs. Abrams, the principal's wife, would meet them at the tea place with some lady friends, and be hospitable and motherly. Mr. Abrams was a preparatory schoolmaster of the old-fashioned sort. He cared neither for work nor games, but fed his boys well and saw that they did not misbehave. The rest he left to the parents and did not speculate how much the parents were leaving to him. Amid mutual compliments, the boys passed out into a public school, healthy but backward, to receive upon undefended flesh the first blows of the world. There is much to be said for apathy in education, and Mr. Abrams' pupils did not do badly in the long run. Became parents in their turn, and in some cases sent him their sons. Mr. Reed, the junior assistant, was a master of the same type, only stupider, while Mr. Ducey, the senior, acted as a stimulant and prevented the whole concern from going to sleep. They did not like him much, but knew that he was necessary. Mr. Ducey was an able man, orthodox but not out of touch with the world, nor incapable of seeing both sides of a question. He was unsuitable for parents and the denser boys, but good for the first form, and had even coached pupils into scholarship. Nor was he a bad organiser. While affecting to hold the reins and to prefer Mr. Reed, Mr. Abrams really allowed Mr. Ducey a free hand, and ended by taking him into partnership. Mr. Ducey always had something on his mind. On this occasion, it was Hall, one of the older boys, who was leaving them to go to a public school. He wanted to have a good talk with Hall during the outing. His colleagues objected, since it would leave them more to do, and the principal remarked that he had already talked to Hall, and that the boy would prefer to take his last walk with his schoolfellows. This was probable, but Mr. Ducey was never deterred from doing what is right. He smiled and was silent. Mr. Reed knew what the good talk would be, for early in their acquaintance they had touched on a certain theme professionally. Mr. Reed had disapproved. Thin ice, he had said. The principal neither knew nor would have wished to know. Parting from his pupils when they were 14, he forgot they had developed into men. They seemed to him a race small but complete, like the New Guinea pygmies. My boys. And they were even easier to understand than pygmies because they never married and seldom died. Celibate and immortal, the long procession passed before him, its thickness varying from 25 to 40 at a time. I see no use in books on education. Boys began before education was thought of. Mr. Ducey would smile, for he was soaked in evolution. From this to the boys.
Sir, may I hold your hand? Sir, you promised me. Both Mr. Abrams' hands were bagged, and all Mr. Reed's. Oh, sir, did you hear that? He thinks Mr. Reed had three hands. I didn't, I said fingers. Green eye, green eye.
When you have quite finished.
Sir, I'm going to walk with Hall alone.
There were cries of disappointment. The other masters, seeing that it was no good, called the pack off and marshalled them along the cliff towards the downs. Hall, triumphant, sprang to Mr. Deuce's side and felt too old to take his hand. He was a plump, pretty lad, not in any way remarkable. In this he resembled his father, who had passed in the procession 25 years before, vanished into a public school, married, begotten a son and two daughters, and recently died of pneumonia.